The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled Unapologetically Black and Beautiful. Here's who members of Team Essence find inspiring when it comes to their beauty goals. My mom sold Avon when I was a child. I believe that's what started me down the Sephora product junkie path. My mom was my first example of how self-care made you not only look good, but feel good. Kara Cahoon, Director of Product Management. I have always expressed my creativity through makeup, and I love that rapper Doe Cheese looks are unique and vibrant. They beautifully complement black features. Ryan Sampson, Social Media Manager, Essence and Girls United. From a day-to-day lifestyle point of view, both Tracee Ellis Ross and Khalees exude a natural, subtle look. As someone who doesn't wear a lot of makeup, I see them as prime examples that you don't have to do much. I aspire to be their age and still maintaining such beautiful skin and glow. Lanice Webb, Talent Coordinator. Kalila and I have similar facial features, so it's easy to see my own beauty when I look at her. I am also in love with recreating Diana Ross's bottom lashes. India Epsi Jones, Contributing Editor. Lastly, Shelby Stewart, Associate Editor, wrote, I adore Jeanette Dubois' character, Wilonia Woods, on Good Times. She showed me that glamour has no age and never to be afraid to experiment, whether with your hair or your makeup. Also, as a darker-skinned black girl growing up, I was glad to see someone like Kelly Rowland, who looked like me, reflected in a positive way. The next episode is titled, Turn the Mics Up. Amid a sea of mostly male voices debating our value, these black women are rising to the top and they have a lot to say. When the pandemic cast us out of our social settings and into isolation at home, the popularity of podcasts skyrocketed. Though the talk radio style medium had been around for more than 15 years at that point, interest hit a fever pitch as more eyes and ears sought new ways to fill the long days. Everyone was eager to hear from both veteran creators and an onslaught of new entrants. Fast forward to 2025, there are now more than 2.7 million active podcasts in existence, according to Podcast Industry Insights. These audio and visual platforms inform, educate, entertain, and increasingly in recent years, annoy. Dead Horse Discussions About Dating Etiquette. Is $200 for a first date too much? Gender Wars. What do you bring to the table? Hyperbolic, high value, hot takes, and thinly veiled misogynoir. Accountability? Anyone? Dominate social media snippets from mostly male-led platforms. As a result, a ton of cries to turn off the mics and burn the audio mixers is rising. But there is hope. In a climate overcrowded with tiresome discourse, these seven Black women are carving their own lanes by being unapologetically outspoken, insightful, and honest, and doing it with flair, diving into subject matter outside the toxicity-tinged cultural critiques and relationship rhetoric. These ladies are thriving with unique viewpoints, commemorative conversations, and untapped topic niches. Whether their focus is call-in advice, comedic commentary, candid girl talk, or cultural dissections or health and wellness, these women lead the discussion with expertise, humor, and vulnerability. And with podcasts quickly becoming the next frontier of visual media, each woman also brings a unique personal glam that aids the narrative. Whether it's Lex P, Andrea Nicole, Baddie Aesthetic, on Poor Minds, Savannah James, and April McDaniels, Casual Lux on Everybody's Crazy, or the authentically relaxed, cool girl style of Black People Love Paramore's Sequoia Holmes, Beauty is the B Mic. For Madam Joyce, host of the podcast Cocktails and Takeaways, the focus is on examining the shared experiences of Black women from both sides of the pond in a judgment-free zone and with a healthy dose of humor. As Black women, we have just been taught to get on with it. This is life. Move on, Madam Joyce says. I feel like there are so many things that we deal with that we haven't vocalized. I am a Nigerian woman, so what I was told is keep your problems in your house. That's a common saying. You keep your issues to yourself. You don't share things. With an emphasis on open, off-the-cuff conversation, the host creates an avenue for women to feel less alienated and otherwise by the things they've been through. Though she has found a loyal fan base and international success with her frank and boisterously led discussions, Joyce says one of her biggest challenges in navigating such a male-dominated field has been getting picked apart over her looks. Even the smartest of women are not judged by the things they say, but by their appearance, she says, noting that regardless of her subject matter, commentators have pounced on her if she's had so much as a hair out of place. That's something I realized. It's a sentiment echoed by Drea Nicole and Lex P., co-host of Poor Minds. They use their platform to discuss topics ranging from the modern single scene to navigating grief. But with their revealing attire, plus a level of style that could take them from courtside to the club, the women are used to facing judgment before they ever utter a word. I feel like it's a double-edged sword, says Drea. On one side, because of the aesthetic and how we look, people tend not to take us seriously from the jump. But at the same time, I can't deny the fact that the way we present ourselves is part of the reason why this show has garnered so much attention. Some of the things we say will get comments like, oh, they are dumb, they are birds, they are this and that, Lex concurs. But if a man said the same thing or a woman who is not deemed attractive said it, they would be more inclined to hear them out. The duo became intentional about curating their weekly looks for the YouTube edition of their podcast, becoming one of the first female-led teams that consistently uploads a visual version of their show. They had a defined look that fans could count on, and it helped lead them to becoming viral several times over. If a sultry aesthetic is a cornerstone of some host's visual narrative, things are a bit different for Melissa Ford, who spent the earliest parts of her media career as the standard of beauty in hip-hop culture. She has transitioned from sex symbol to cultural commentator, and on her newest program, Hot and Bothered with Melissa Ford, she's toning down the high glam and leaning into true personal style. Most people would never know just how conservative I am in the way I normally dress, Ford says. I love a herringbone fitted blazer. I really love suits. I love slacks. I love white button downs. I like the way my red readers look, and I like to wear red lipstick with them. A major departure from her co-hosting duties on one of the top podcasts in the culture, the Joe Budden podcast, Ford's solo venture, is dedicated to demystifying health and wellness topics, particularly those most pressing for women facing perimenopause. She hopes to shatter taboos and loosen tight lips regarding that particular life passage, a time many women in her generation have stepped into without sufficient knowledge of what's in store. Gen X was confronted with perimenopause and menopause, and we were like, wait, hold on one second. What? No one told us, she says. In addition to featuring health experts and medical professionals who shed light on the many symptoms, signs, and changes in this season of life, Ford wants to let listeners know that despite what the media tells women, aging is a beautiful experience. Women are just really, really tired of feeling like they are supposed to be ashamed of growing older, she says. We have a plethora of examples of women who are in their 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, and they are vibrant women, and they're gorgeous, and they're self-sufficient, and they are all these things we are told that older women are not. For Everybody's Crazy, the casual call-in podcast from April McDaniel and Savannah James, keeping things positive, authentic, and informative is paramount. People don't realize how imperative it is to utilize your voice to have an impact or a constructive conversation, says McDaniel. Even just understanding that what you're talking about, people are listening to. It's important to remember they are feeding themselves with that information. Purposefully rejecting negativity on their show, longtime friends McDaniel and James instead give personal antidotes and convivial advice on how to make lemonade with the lemon life gives. With a mission rooted in relatability, the co-hosts skip the glam teams and opt for the high-end casual style and DIY makeup, if any, that they go for in their day-to-day lives. We don't want to be highly curated on the sofa, McDaniel explains. We just want it to show up as our best selves. So I think we have done a really good job being present in what that looks like. We are conscious about putting something real into the world, period, James says, of their no-fuss style. What you see is what you get. I show up to everybody's crazy in the same way I show up in the world. With skin care her central focus, James even has her own brand on the way later this year. She's camera ready with a dab of concealer and a swipe of gloss. I am a comfort queen, she says. I do not like to be bound. I do not like to be uncomfortable. Cool Comfort is the cornerstone of Sequoia Homes podcast. Look as well. With Black People Love Paramore, the host found a creative way to build a community, and it's rooted in her long gone emu phase. Her main interest now is an examination of some of our often unexpected niche pop culture interests, from true crime to the Golden Girls. Filming her visual component largely from home, Holmes keeps her clothing relaxed with a band tee noddings to her Hot Topic era and curated glam. She lists makeup as one of her creative outlets. A veteran podcaster of nearly a decade, she has watched the public perception of podcasts slowly sour, but she's of the opinion that the call to shut off the mics is a lazy point of view. I think podcasting needs a rebrand, Holmes said, noting that the clips that stick aren't always a true reflection of how diverse and exciting the field is. The loudest and most viral voices tend to be the most inflammatory ones. I think podcasting market is great. It is diversifying by the second. Everybody can find a podcast that is for them, that they love. She adds that as podcasts become an increasingly visual medium, many will begin consuming this content without even realizing that is what it is. It's a sentiment echoed by every host we interviewed. More Black women need to pick up the mics. The medium is expanding. The next big innovation is on the horizon, and the path for the next big voices is being cleared. I just hope, Holmes says, that Black women get a big piece of that pie. The next article is from BlackEnterprise.com and is titled, HBCU Week Now Launches Effort to Build Digital Collection of Commencement Speeches. HBCU Week Now is expanding its content to build a digital collection of HBCU commencement speeches and recruitment videos. HBCU Week Now announced the news May 15th, encouraging HBCUs nationwide to help curate this digital archive as an online platform with a mission toward celebrating the diverse culture and legacy of HBCUs. The new project will further these efforts by showcasing others' recognition of this esteemed history. Moreover, the initiative will introduce these powerful messages to newer audiences on YouTube, while many commencement and recruitment videos are only seen by those in attendance, this digital collection aims to highlight the importance of these moments for the HBCU community and those interested in participating in it. Our platform spotlights the stories, experiences, history, and culture that make HBCUs vital to the future of education and leadership in America, stated Travis E. Mitchell, founding executive of HBCU Week Now, in a press release to Black Enterprise. Through cinematically produced compelling video story, HBCU Week Now is creating a vibrant and inclusive community that honors the power and depth of HBCU experiences. Recruitment and commencement are two important highlights on a student's HBCU journey. Currently boasting over 11,000 subscribers, this edition of these timeless videos will not only help grow HBCU Week Now, but also further its mission in uplifting HBCUs. Submitted commencement speeches will feature on the platform in full or through highlight reels. From cultural icons to trailblazing industry leaders, these keynote speakers have shared messages of why HBCUs are integral to one's past, present, and future. These inspiring speeches of hope and achievement will also encourage attendees while allowing alumni to reflect on the experiences that shaped their education. The recruitment videos will also provide a unique look at individual HBCUs as they display what makes each institution one of a kind. The videos will also add to HBCU Week Now, a wide collection of long and short form videos, live events, and multi-platform coverage with tens of short films and hundreds of original content across its social media. The online visual hub continues to provide a robust snapshot of HBCU culture. The next article is titled "Couple Who Built Tiny Tree Houses to Rent on Airbnb Make Over $30,000 a Month." This article is from BlackEnterprise.com. A couple who began renting out rooms in their former Atlanta home now earns between $30,000 and $60,000 a month by hosting tiny cabins and tree houses on Airbnb in upstate New York. Daryl and Patrice Maxim recall the days they had to book hotels for the weekend while renting out rooms in their Atlanta homes. "When we moved to Atlanta, we were really broke," Daryl Maxim told Business Insider. "We literally spent all of our money on a down payment. We had $1,000 in our bank accounts. But after an appearance on HGTV's Tiny House, Big Living, the Maxims opened their eyes to the high profits that can be made from offering tiny living experiences following the construction of a tiny home that generated $2,500 a month. I was hooked at that point," Maxim said. "We had a barn in the backyard. I converted that barn to another livable space. Then another year after that, I ended up building three more units. After the fifth unit on the property, we were generating roughly $15,000 a month." Maxim went on to quit his job at the Department of Aviation to pursue home rentals full-time through their company, Maxim Hotels. In 2022, the Maxims launched their flagship project, Finger Lakes Tree Houses, in the small town of Sawdust, New York, about 33 miles east of Rochester, where they teamed up with Red Falls Timber to build 5 A-frame homes. Each tiny cabin has a kitchenette, a bathroom, air conditioning, and a private wood-fired hot tub that in total runs about $250 a night. What cost the Maxims just $65,000 to build is now bringing in between $30,000 and $60,000 a month in rental income. It's quite the success story coming from a couple who once put all their money into buying a home for $249,000. Everyone wants to rush and race to do the largest project, and they don't know what they're getting themselves into, Maxim said. The only advice I have to someone starting out like me is to stay small enough, long enough, because soon enough you'll be big enough. The next article is from BlackEnterprise.com titled The Good Life, Caribbean Islands to Consider for Retirement. Islands has just released a list of the best Caribbean islands people could consider when it's time for them to retire. With many islands to choose from, the media outlet suggested several things to think about when it's time to decide on where you could land to enjoy the rest of your life. Outside of the necessities one should have in mind, such as retirement income, expenses, taxes that need to be paid, and the cost of living where you plan to live, there are other things that should be on the checklist. The location, of course, should take priority, but questions may loom. Will it be a permanent or seasonal location you are scouting? Would it be based on a rental or a purchase of property? What are the legal ramifications for that island when it comes to potential ownership of property? Other factors to consider when contemplating the move: how is the climate there? Does the weather suit your way of living? What's the culture there? Do the amenities fit your ideal situation? How is the island built in terms of handling potential natural disasters and extreme weather conditions? How is the public transportation situation for getting around to places? Is finding local shopping a hassle? Are the tourist spots easily accessible if you want to explore? Does the place offer enjoyable activities? Are there real estate opportunities available? What's the crime rate in the area? How does nature look regarding marine life and the animals that occupy the land? Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.